Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed by the preaching of the Word of God. We've been having a great time of prayer on this broadcast every morning, 7 a.m., having a time of prayer, praying. And, you know, prayer is so important to our lives as Christians. It is not just enough, or it is not just good to be found studying the Word of God. It is also very important to practice the discipline of prayer. And then we hope to use this platform to promote consistency in prayer. Wake up and pray every blessed day. Hallelujah. Praise God. But now we want to start a new series titled A City Set on a Hill. That phrase is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. A city set on a hill. I can't predict how long this is going to last. It could be short. It could be, you know, for a longer period. I cannot predict at the moment. I mean, it depends on how much we want to delve into different aspects of, you know, acting as a city set on a hill. But I trust the Holy Ghost will know when to stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Bible says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, this is one of the statements of Jesus in what is popularly known as the Sermon on the Mount. One of the statements of Jesus in what is popularly known or called the Sermon on the Mount. It's called Sermon on the Mount because the location for this particular teaching was a mountain. So the reason why they refer to that place, or they refer to that discourse as the Sermon on the Mount, was because the location was a mountain. Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 to 2, let's confirm this quickly. So it's called Sermon on the Mount, and it's in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Praise God. And he was talking to his disciples and to the multitude at large. Disciples specifically, and then to the multitude at large. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll read from verse 1 to 2. Bible says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated with his disciples, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," so Jesus went on the mountain. When he saw the multitude, and then his disciples came to him, he went on the mountain and he began to teach. Glory to God. So it's called Sermon on the Mount because of the location of the teaching. Interestingly, the word mountain and hill are from the same Greek word. Greek word is spelled O-R-O-S. That's the same word translated mountain or hill. That's one word translated mount, mountain, mountains, hill in several places in the New Testament. Praise God. So when Jesus described his disciples as the city set on a hill, he was simply drawing inference from how the mountain is easily noticeable, and as such, any city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Glory to God. So that means Jesus stood on that mountain, and while he was teaching, he says, "You are the light of the world." And then he looks at the mountain and then he says, "Oh, you are a city, you are like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." Glory to God. Because the mountain is above every other plane, every other, you know, leveled area. So the mountain is a place that cannot be hidden. Men walk through the place and they notice that there's a tall structure in place. There's a hill up there. Glory to God. It is something that gets attention easily. It is something that gets attention. It attracts attention. Glory to God. So, like I said, when Jesus described the disciples as the city set on a hill, he was simply drawing inference from how the mountain is easily noticeable. Glory to God. Now, this was the same way he illustrated the idea of us being light with natural light. So the same way he says we are like the city set on a hill, he also illustrates the believer being the light of the world with natural light. And then he also shows us the purpose that that serves. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 15. Amen. Matthew 5, 15. Jesus speaking, he says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket." You know, this is a continuation of verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." So Jesus likens us to light and then shows the function and the purpose of the light. It is to give light to everyone in the house. Glory to God. So he says lamps aren't designed to be under the basket. Amen. Lights aren't designed to be under the basket, but on a lampstand. That is the only way light is only, that is the only way light is going to be able to fulfill its purpose. It has to be on a lampstand, not under a basket, or the KJV says a bushel. Praise God. It must be put on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. Glory to God. So, listen, this means the believer should never embrace the idea of being hidden. Hallelujah. You cannot be a believer and then you say, "Well, I don't wear it. I don't really wear it. I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't show it. No. You cannot be hidden as a Christian. You must not embrace the idea of being hidden as a believer, because Bible likens you, Jesus in his sermon, in his discourse, likens you to the light that is not meant to be under the basket. It must be on the lampstand to give light to everyone in the house. Amen. Jesus likens you to a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. So this means the believer should never embrace the idea of being hidden. He has been set in the world strategically as an influence to the world. Glory to God. You must never embrace the idea of being hidden. Amen. God has no secret service agents. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian. I'm in the army of the Lord. I'm part of the soldiers of Christ, but I'm in the secret service. No! You must not be hidden as a person, because God has strategically positioned you in the world as an influence to the world. Amen. The believer is meant to influence the world around him as a light that he is. Glory to God. So there are no secret service agents in the body of Christ. There are no secret service agents. You have to be known. You have to make known the light of God. You must not be hidden. You must not be unknown or invisible. Glory to God. Now, the phrase "city set on a hill," obviously, from how we have seen it, is just a further explanation of what it means to be the light. That is, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," and he says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." It's the same description. Hallelujah. A further explanation of what it means to be the light. You must consider yourself to be a city set on a hill for a purpose. Glory to God. Note that Jesus didn't say a city set on a hill should not be hidden. It says cannot be hidden. Amen. Now, I know this can be quite confusing. It could be that, it could sound as though Jesus is saying, the moment you become a Christian or the moment you are born again, you cannot be hidden. You know, it could sound like that. Amen. Jesus says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It doesn't say should not be. So it could sound as though Jesus is saying the moment you become a Christian, automatically you cannot be hidden and then your light is going to be shining. No! Amen. And you see, if you have that kind of position, you will find scriptures to support that idea. Amen. Yeah, there are scriptures to support that. For instance, nobody believes in secret. Nobody believes the gospel in secret. So we can say, the moment you believe in Christ Jesus, you become a city set on a hill and you are visible to everybody and you cannot be hidden. We can, from that perspective, submit such claims. Amen. Nobody believes in the secret. Hallelujah. There must be a witness. There are always witnesses in the environment where men are receiving the gospel or receiving Christ into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. So nobody believes in secret. So we can safely say the moment you believe, you're already a light, and then you are not to be hidden and you cannot be hidden. We know you are a Christian and things like that. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 32, for instance, look at what Jesus said. Matthew 10, 32. I hope you are following this. Matthew 10, 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus says to confess him before who? Before men. Amen. So, you know, from a scripture like this or a portion of the Bible like this, we can say that the moment a man believes in the gospel of Christ, he becomes a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden because he's made a confession before men. Hallelujah. At 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, look at what Paul says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and I'll read verse 12. Paul speaking to Timothy. Hallelujah. Says the exact same thing that Jesus said at Matthew 10, 32 in a different way. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. To which you were also called. To which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. Paul is saying Timothy has confessed the good confession, that is his Christian faith, his confession of Jesus or profession of Jesus as Lord, his faith was in the midst of many witnesses. Glory to God. That's like confessing Jesus before men. Glory to God. So we can, from these perspectives, we can, from these Bible positions, say that, oh, the moment a man becomes born again, he becomes a city set on a hill and he cannot be hidden. We can have such position. Hallelujah. Because you can't have a private faith or believing. True confession of Jesus is public and it is before men. We've seen it at Matthew 10, 32. We've seen it at 1 Timothy 6, 12. The confession of Jesus as Lord is a public thing. Amen. And it is before men. At least one person must be a witness. Amen. Since you would have to hear the gospel from somebody. So even if it's not in the midst of many witnesses like Timothy, it must be in the midst, it must be among a few people or one person at least. Amen. It must be among a few people or before one person at least. You must have heard the gospel. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 to 17. You must have received the gospel from somebody. So there would always be human witnesses to the fact that you have received the gospel. Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Romans 10. And I'll read from verse 8. Praise God. Romans 10 from verse 8. I'll read down to 17. Bible says, But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now from verse 8 down to verse 9, it will seem as though Paul is saying that the word is near you too, is near everybody. You can just from anywhere just confess Jesus as Lord. You can just rise up. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. The word of faith which we preach and all that. No, that's not what he's saying. That's why you get to verse 10. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, verse 11, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hallelujah. Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there must be at least one person that would witness your conversion. Hallelujah. At least one person. All those who got saved in the book of Acts had witnesses. Glory to God. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a very powerful sermon, and about 3,000 souls were added to the church. There were witnesses there. The apostles knew that these guys had converted. That was why they counted and they numbered them. Amen. If you get to Acts 6, the number kept growing. They knew that the number was growing. Amen. Why? Because they were witnesses of the fact that men were embracing the gospel and they were getting saved. So you will make your confession of Christ as the Lord. You make that confession before men. At least one man. Amen. The jailer and his household. What shall I do to be saved? And then Paul and Silas, Paul said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, and you shall be saved. And they preached the word of the Lord to him. So that jailer and his household believed the word of God. And Paul and Silas were witnesses. Amen. The household of Cornelius. The man was given to fasting and prayer, was a generous man, giving alms and all that, was a good man, pious, religious, but not born again. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him, oh, send for Peter. Send for Peter. He must tell you what you must do. Then Peter came around with some of his brethren, and he preached the gospel at Acts 10. That says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost came upon them that heard the word of God. So there were witnesses. Peter and all those guys that went with him. Amen. They were witnesses of Cornelius' conversion with his household. So everywhere men receive the gospel, there will be at least a witness. Amen. You will confess before men. The eunuch that Philip preached the word of God to. Philip was the witness. Glory to God. Even Saul of Tarsus. There had to be a witness. Men saw it. Hallelujah. Men saw it. And then Ananias, testified to the fact that Paul had seen the Lord. Glory to God. So, the moment you believe in the gospel, it seems like you are like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Because of all this, idea of confessing Jesus before men, believing the gospel in the presence of men, we can safely say, oh, because of this, you are already a city set on a hill. That is how it's meant to be, really. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is how it's meant to be. You are already a city set on a hill and you cannot be hidden, right? But it's important to note that not every one of us believed right before the world. Amen. Most of the conversions we have seen happened in the midst of men who already believed the gospel. Hallelujah. And that's the same way many of us believed and confessed Jesus before those who were already in the faith before us. That is, it was not before the world. Glory to God. Such that the world doesn't necessarily know or identify us. The world does not necessarily know or recognize you as a Christian. It is not written on your forehead. There is no physical sign of being born again. Hallelujah. In other words, you can be a Christian, you can be the light of the world, you can be like a city set on a hill and be hidden. Glory to God. That's where I'm going. That was where I was driving at. You can be a born again person. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. You can have the life of God within you. You can be born of God and still be hidden in this world. Amen. Very important to note. 1 John 3. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world does not know us. Amen. The world does not know us. So we can really be unknown and hidden in this world. You can be born of God and be unknown. You can be born of God and be hidden. And nobody knows you have any link with Christ. Glory to God. In fact, if we look at the example that followed that phrase, city set on a hill, you notice that Jesus was teaching how not to be hidden. Amen. You shouldn't run from that text to start preaching. You cannot be hidden because you're light, because you're a city set on a hill. You cannot be hidden. No, that would be a wrong interpretation, because Jesus was teaching how not to be hidden. Amen. Jesus was teaching how not to be hidden. Glory to God. It says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Can a lamp be put under a basket? Yes! Hallelujah! So it is not enough to be the light. It is not enough to be the light. You have to also make sure the light is well positioned. Amen. Did you see that? So, can a lamp be placed under a basket? Yes. So, the way light wouldn't be hidden is when it's positioned in its right place. How is the believer properly positioned to not be hidden? How should we properly position ourselves so we are not hidden in this world? Jesus revealed it in the next statement. Hallelujah. The very next verse shows us how not to be hidden as the light in this world. Amen. Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine. Amen. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand that it may give light to everyone in the house. Let your light so shine. We've seen in one of our studies, I think the book of John. So, the word so there means in this manner, in this way. Let your light in this way also shine before men. That is, position yourself properly as a lamp put on a lampstand. In that manner, in that way, that is the only way to let your light shine. Hallelujah. It says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do men see your faith? No. Faith is between you and God. What men can see are the works of faith. Hallelujah. So a believer can be hidden in this world. Though it's the light of the world. If it does not shine the light, men will not see it. Amen. So you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden as you position yourself to be seen. Amen. You position yourself to be seen by the things you do, by the conduct of your faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing as automatically because you're a Christian, automatically because you're in Christ, automatically you cannot be hidden. Automatically everybody will know you, everybody will know you're a Christian. No, what men will see by which they will identify you as a Christian is the good works that are a product of your faith in Christ. Amen. What do they see? Are good works. The believer without works of faith is hidden in this world. Praise God. The believer without works of faith is hidden in this world. Amen. You know, because men cannot see faith. What men can see are works. What men can see are your deeds, your conduct, your exploits. Amen. They can't see your faith. They see your faith by the things you do. Glory to God. See how James explains this. James chapter 2. Glory to God. James chapter 2, very important portion of the Bible that many folks have misinterpreted, fought against, resisted, because they do not understand what is being said. James chapter 2, praise God. James chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 17. Okay, let me start from verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is not dead towards God. Faith without works is alive unto God. Faith without works is alive unto God. In fact, by faith we have been saved through faith, by grace rather, we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he poured out upon us abundantly. Hallelujah. So faith without works is alive towards God. Faith without works towards men is dead. The word dead there actually means it's inoperative. Amen. It's barren. Look at the context. I have faith, but a brother or a sister comes to me in need of clothing, in need of food, And I say, depart, be filled. Instead of giving them what they need, my faith is not operative towards them. My faith is not finding expression towards them. So my faith is dead to them. Hallelujah. Towards them. Amen. Because the person that needs to see works, to know that you have faith, is a fellow man, not God. So James says in verse 17, does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Who are we to show our faith by our works? Men. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see. Hallelujah. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. That is what to set you apart as a man who has faith in God. Your works. Glory to God. So the believer without works of faith is hidden in this world. What makes us a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden is our being rightly positioned for influence in this world. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. What makes us a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden is our being rightly positioned for influence in this world. Hallelujah. Some believers are so hidden because they aren't doing the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. Like I said, the believer without the works of faith is hidden in this world. They won't know that you are in any way different. Amen. There won't be any difference. Some believers are so hidden because they aren't doing the works of Jesus. It is after you have revealed yourself to the world by your good works, they'll begin to watch your actions. Nobody is going to be looking out for how you conduct yourself or how you behave if they don't know you're a believer. They are not expecting anything more from you or anything different. Hallelujah. But the moment you reveal yourself to be a man of God, to be a man in Christ, to be a man that has faith in God, then they'll begin to look out for your actions. If you haven't shown your faith by your works, they won't even know you are different. They won't know you have a different spirit in the first place. They will not know you have a different spirit in the first place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, by professing faith in Christ, we have identified with a higher standard. That's non-disputable. Praise God. We can't dispute against that. By professing faith in Christ, we have identified with a higher standard. However, the world holds us to such standards only when we have shown our faith by our conduct. Hallelujah. That is, the world will not hold you to any standard until you have demonstrated your faith by the things you do, by works of faith. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, for instance. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 1 to 4. Glory to God. The world will not hold you to any standard until you have shown the world that you belong to Christ by your conduct and attitude. And then in this series, we're going to examine that conduct, where it begins. Amen. Before you assume that the conduct is about just going about and giving people money and food and clothing and all those things. All those things are good. They're part of good works. But then we'll start from where it matters the most. The way to reveal yourself as a Christian. We're going to see it in this series. So stay tuned in and don't miss any of these sessions. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 1 down to 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, point of emphasis, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Hallelujah. So, you see, they think it's strange because we are no longer participating in the same things. Glory to God. They think it's strange because you are no longer running in the same flood of dissipation. You don't attend those wild parties anymore. You don't talk the same trash. You don't reason in the same way anymore. So it's strange to them. Hallelujah. That change that occurred in you the day you met Jesus is unknown to men except by your conduct. Hallelujah. So that is, you can walk out of your house as a sinner, walk out of your house as a sinner, and before coming back home, you've received the gospel. I mean, you just decided to take a stroll. And on your way, you meet a passionate soul winner and he leads you to Christ. You get back into your house, believe you me, there will be no change in your personality. There will be no change in your countenance. There will be no, nobody's going to see that there's a difference on the outward. Hallelujah. Nobody. Glory to God. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has made us, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the mystery of reconciliation. But the new creature that you became is nothing external. Hallelujah. That's why your stature will remain the same. That's why your skin complexion or skin color will remain the same. That's the reason why you remember some of the things you remember what you stored in your mind over the years. That's the reason why if you come across somebody who had wronged you and you've been seeking to revenge and, you know, get back at the person, praise God, and then you come across that person just shortly after you met the word of God, you remember the grievances. Amen. You remember the grievances. You remember the hurts. You remember the pain. Because the newness that came to you is the fact that you received the life of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So you could walk out of your house, a sinner, stroll out of your house. On your way back, you meet a passionate preacher of the gospel and you are converted and you become a new creature. But I'm saying to you, nobody is going to know there's been a change. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to know there's been a change. While God and the preacher... No. Okay, I have to rephrase that. Your friends, colleagues, all those folks you used to roll with, none of them will know there's been a change. God knows there's a change. The preacher that got you saved knows there's a change. You are aware of the fact that there's a change. So while God and the preacher are aware you've received the gospel, nobody in your house or anywhere else is aware. Hallelujah. What's going to make a difference is how you conduct yourself afterwards, how you begin to conduct yourself afterwards. Praise God. The way you talk, the things you say, your desire to live for Jesus. That's the only way you will not be hidden. Amen. But I mean, if you get back to your circle of friends or your neighbors, your colleagues, anybody, your family members, and then you just roll with them in the same flood of dissipation, nobody's going to know there's been a change. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to know there's been a change. The only way you're going to make a difference and you'll not be hidden as a light is when you now stand for the faith of the gospel. Amen. When you begin to talk about the things of God, when your conduct begins to reflect that you've encountered Jesus. Amen. So the believer can be hidden. That's the only way to not be hidden is to make known your faith by your conduct, by your actions and your attitudes and the things you do. So let your light so shine. Let your light in this manner shine before men. That they may behold the good works, see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I can tell you this for free. From the moment you make your faith known, people will start expecting something more from you. That's just the way of the world. From the moment you make known your faith, from the moment you say, see, I'm no longer interested in these things. I want to live my life for Jesus. Now I want to start going to church, attend meetings. I want to take my Bible seriously. I want to know God. From the time when you begin to say that, people will begin to expect something more from you. Hallelujah. While our faith has set us apart from the world, the moment we're identified as believers, our faith has set us apart from the world, the moment we believed. While that is true, we are held to a higher standard only when we make our faith known by the things we do. Glory to God. By our good works. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that when you act like the world or behave like them, they'll begin to blackmail you. That is, after they know you're a Christian, They'll just begin to blackmail you, and you call yourself a Christian. Before anything, now you start praying in tongues. You see, before you know it now, after all this madness he has displayed, he will soon carry his Bible and be going to church. In fact, he's the choir leader. Praise God. They'll begin to disdain and blackmail you and speak evil of you and reproach you. Praise God. Do you know why that is so? Because now they're expecting more from you. They are expecting something better from you. Hallelujah. They are now holding you to a higher standard. They expect you to be different now that you've identified with the person of Christ. Amen. Now that you've identified with the person of Christ. So a city set on a hill is not an automatic reality for every believer in Christ. We don't say now that you are born again, that means you cannot be hidden. No, you can be hidden. Amen. The only way you are going to not be hidden is when you position yourself as a city set on a hill by your conduct, by letting your light so shine before men. Glory to God. That's the only way. You can't say, hey, no, you cannot be hidden. No, Jesus is teaching how not to be hidden. Jesus says you are the light of the world and is showing you how not to be hidden because there's the possibility of being hidden as the light. There are things to do so as not to be hidden in this world. Glory to God. Now let's read Matthew chapter 5. I'll close with this. So this is an introduction. And then that means this study is about seeing how we can position ourselves for kingdom impacts. Impacts for Jesus. Influence for the sake of Christ in this world. And not assume that because you are a Christian, you are the light of the world. Not assume that you are being impactful just by being merely in this place. By merely occupying space and being in this environment or being in the community, you are already shining as a light. No. It is not automatic. Praise God. There's a way to position yourself for strategic impact for the gospel. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 5. This time I'll read from verse 13 down to 16. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Have you noticed that there are three metaphors or illustrations in this particular discourse of Jesus? Metaphors. You have light, you have salt, and you have a city set on a hill. And they all are descriptive of the same thing. How that the believer has been set in this world as an influence for Christ is called the salt of the earth. Amen. But then it shows you the consequence. Hallelujah. It shows you the consequence of not acting as the salt that we are. Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. These descriptions make it very clear that we are here to influence the world for Jesus. These descriptions make it so clear that we are here to influence the world for Jesus. So we are to influence the world for Christ. But Jesus points out that there's a consequence for not acting as the salt that we are. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So the salt can lose its flavor. Amen. The salt can be without impact. Though you are the salt of the earth, you can be without impact as the salt of the earth. Your impact can be unseen. It can be totally unseen. It can be totally not felt. Amen. And Jesus says it's going to be trampled underfoot. Do you know what it means to be trampled underfoot by men? It means to be disdained, despised. You'll be of no use spiritually. Hallelujah. And we're going to come to this well in this series. So the only way to prevent this is to influence the world for Jesus. That's where your dignity lies. As the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill, your dignity lies in the fact that you are making impact and you are influencing your world for Jesus. Hallelujah. So take this away from this teaching this morning, that you have been set in the world to influence your world for Jesus. Amen. You've been sent to influence the world for Jesus. You've been positioned in the world for influence, kingdom influence. influence for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. And as a light of the world, you can be hidden. You can be hidden. You are not automatically a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Glory to God. Though positionally, you are God's light. Positionally, you are a city set on a hill. But the fact that you are a city set on a hill does not mean you cannot be hidden. That's why Jesus was teaching how not to be hidden. You don't put a lamp under a basket. The question you should ask yourself this morning is my light under the basket or on the lampstand? Hallelujah. Am I well positioned for influence in this world for Jesus? Am I hidden or am I known as an ambassador for Christ? Glory to God. We're going to continue from here in the next teaching. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost and of power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.